okay, if you really want true body transformation, I got the thing for you today. You need to listen to this. If you're over the age of 40, if you are over the age of 40 and you're doing all the things the way you've always done them and you're not seeing results, this may be why. This may be the missing link. It is the unsung hero of all the different things that we talk about when it comes to modalities, different workout modalities and stress management modalities. What are we talking about today? I got it all for you. It's a really good one. Get your tennis shoes on. I really want you to go for a walk during this one. If you're driving, that's cool. Putting on your makeup, no judgment. Cooking, I love it. I love being in your house. I love being in your earbuds. I love being in your life. But look, no matter what, tune in and listen to this. And then don't just listen, but put it into action. True transformation comes when we actually put things we're learning into action, right? Okay, here we go. Welcome to the Age in Reverse podcast, where we talk about how to boost energy, joy, and fun over 40, all through a faith-forward perspective. I'm Lisa Arundel, aka Lisa Lou Fitness, your dancing BFF. I'm a dancer, a lover of Jesus and coffee, a high-performance health coach, and an integrative health and fitness expert of over 31 years. After being diagnosed with autoimmune disease, congenital heart defects, degenerative disc disease, major knee issues, and more, all in my 20s, I finally decided to take back control of my health. Now, in my 50s, I have more energy than I ever did in my 20s, and I'm here to show you how to experience the same thing. If you want to remain independent, build your faith, and enjoy more energy, joy, and fun in your life, you are in the right place. Let's challenge the status quo on aging and make Act 2 our best years yet. Welcome to Age in Reverse. I hope you're having a great week, beginning to your week. We are full on under renovation. Oh my goodness. So this coming weekend, the guy is going to come to rip out all of the floors in our bedroom and bathroom. But my husband and I have been, I say that, let me back up. He does listen to my episodes. He has done 99.999% of getting things prepared, right? So ripping out all kinds of things. I am just helping, like, get the wallpaper off the walls, which is a nightmare. By the way, I don't even ever want to ever do that again. I will never hang wallpaper because I would never do that to future people who would want to take it off. Like, awful job. Awful. Anyway, but my point is we are officially in the state of limbo. Here we are, and prayerfully it won't last forever, but if you've heard me talk about this renovation before, it is not something that we chose. Our house is falling in. We're on pier and beam, and we have rotten beams, and the walls have been tearing apart. That's a little dramatic. But they've been shifting, right? Because the house has been dropping, the bathtub dropped, like the toilet dropped. This actually happened a while back. I was sitting on the potty, and all of a sudden I didn't fall, but there was like this sound of like a crack, and it jarred my body. And it's because the floor underneath me had cracked. I don't know if that's when we first realized we may have a problem with our structure or what, but yeah, there's a visual for you. You're welcome. Okay, let's get into today's topic. So we're talking about true body transformation over 40. So what is this? What is the secret sauce here? How are you going to see body transformation over 40? And what I propose is this is the only way you will see true body transformation over 40. So what I'm talking about today is the unsung hero, the unsexy, thing out there that we're like, what? That? Yes, that. If you will trust what I am telling you. Look, I don't think I have to convince you that our bodies change over 40. Is there something magic about 40? No. It can be 35. It could be 45. It could be the day you turn 40. But the point is, as we get older and we start hitting that 40 mark and a little bit above, perimenopause really, becomes a thing. it becomes a thing. It's something our body begins to go through, for some a little earlier than others. But typically by age 45, the majority of women are in full-blown perimenopause. So for so many, it begins before that. So I just want to lay that as a foundation. Why can't we keep doing things we always did before and get the same results? It's because your body is different, sister. It's just different. Mine's different. It just is. As our hormones change, our body's response to the things that we've always done also changes. It adapts differently. It adapts different to the foods we eat. It adapts different to the exercises we do. It adapts differently to the way that we care for it on our off days. Everything is different. It doesn't have to be worse if you are prepared, if you are intentional. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing, because I don't want you to fear this stage of life, and I definitely don't want you to dread it. I want you to feel so empowered, because you're like, oh, okay, first of all, I'm not weird, or I'm not different, or I'm not unique. This actually is very normal. Yes, it's very normal for these things to happen, but what's not okay is for you to just accept it and go quietly into the night. No, ma'am, not on my watch. We want to keep pursuing amazing health. We just have to shift some things. And one of the things we have to shift is how we recover. That is the name of the game. That is the unsung hero. And I'm going to give you three recovery protocols so that you can start implementing these right away. Okay? So, again, as we get older, our bodies take time to recover, but we always have needed recovery. We just didn't need as much or for as long. When we're in our, you know, teens and our 20s and our early 30s, we bounce back pretty quick. We bounce back from workouts, stressors that our body undergoes in all different areas. We just have a little bit more resiliency there. So we can still have resiliency, but we have to change the game a little bit. If we want to get the most out of our workouts, we really need to go out of our way to reduce both physiological and mental stress. So as soon as I say that, I feel like what comes up for maybe you, maybe not you, but is, yeah, right. You don't know my life. What do you mean, you know, reduce my stress? Well, there are ways to manage our stress. And when we are managing it appropriately, yes, we're actually reducing it. Okay? Too much stress means that your cortisol is in constant action. Cortisol is not a bad hormone. It's what wakes us up in the morning. It is also what is put into place if we have got to quickly move to protect ourselves. Cortisol in the right amounts at the right time is good, but it is the nemesis of melatonin in the evenings. So melatonin rises as it gets, you know, the sun starts to go down around 8, 9 o'clock, depending on where you are. Our melatonin should naturally start to rise as our cortisol naturally goes down. But because the two can't live in tandem, cortisol and melatonin cannot both be high. It's not possible. Then our sleep begins to suffer. So mitigating stress is absolutely essential. So the very first of our protocols that I'm going to take you through, the first one is breath work. So your breath is your constant companion. I've got an app called the Calm app. I highly recommend it. I think it's maybe $50 or $60 a year. For me, it has been worth every penny because I use it a lot. And I believe I heard that phraseology from the Calm app. Your breath is your constant companion. It's always with you. Think about that. You're never without your breath. You're never leaving it at home when you go on vacation. You're never leaving it in your purse that you left in the car when you go into work. Like, your breath is with you always. Praise God, right? The breath, the very breath of God is in our lungs. It's what keeps us here. But our breath is our constant companion. And breath work can help you lower stress, lower blood pressure, and increase your mood. So we need to figure out how do we tap in to this constant companion to help move us toward a state of calm, of managing stress better. So again, what's cool is you could do this in the car in traffic. I'm going to take you through a couple exercises here in a moment while you're watching TV, while you're just trying to keep your mood in check, you know, maybe because you're having a bad day or hashtag perimenopause or whatever. You can go to your breath for help. So there are a ton of different breathing exercises. I'm just going to pick out a few that I use a lot, okay? One of them is called cyclic sighing. Cyclic sighing is when you breathe halfway in. Now, this is through your nose. Breathe halfway in, then all the way in. Then you kind of want to finish filling your lungs, and then you slowly breathe out, okay? So I'm going to demonstrate this for you, but you're breathing only halfway in. So you're not filling your lungs completely. So think about filling your lungs only halfway, pausing for just a moment, then filling them the rest of the way, then slowly breathing out. So it may sound like this. Okay, so I breathed in twice through my nose, halfway filling my lungs, then completely filling my lungs, then slowly breathing out through my mouth. That's cyclic sighing. It's one of my favorite things to do. I will often do this after I do my sprint interval training. There's so many ways to do sprint interval training. I'll cover that on another episode, but basically I like to do it on the treadmill. So I run, you know, really fast and then I slow and then I run really fast. And often I will do cyclic sighing when I'm done because it helps to bring my heart rate down even faster. Okay. The next one is box breathing. You may be a little more familiar with this. You're going to breathe in for 4 seconds. By the way, always breathing in through your nose if at all possible, because your nose is a natural filtration system. So it goes without saying with all these that I'm talking about, breathing through the nose is best, breathing in through the nose. Okay, so box breathing is you breathing in for 4 seconds, holding that breath in for 4 seconds, then breathing out for 4 seconds and holding for 4 seconds. I'm not going to do that on here because it takes a bit of time and it's a little awkward without video, but hopefully, I'm going to say it again, but hopefully you get the idea of that. Breathe in for 4 seconds, then you're going to hold that breath in, neither breathing in nor out for 4 seconds. Then you'll breathe out for 4 seconds and hold for 4 seconds, okay? Another one is called resonance breathing, where you breathe in for 5 seconds, then you breathe out for 5 seconds. And what this does is it brings your breath rate per minute. I think it comes out to 5 breaths a minute, if I'm doing the math there right, maybe 6. But it just helps to slow you down because we are shallow breathers, because we breathe very quickly, because we don't take deep breaths. This really helps you get mindful about your breath. If you have an Apple Watch and it ever goes, take a moment to breathe, and you click the button, it'll be this little bubble that'll expand. And as it's expanding, you're breathing in. And when that bubble shrinks, you're breathing out. That's a form of resonance breathing, okay? All right, and the last one that I'll mention is you can also, I don't even know what this one is called or if it even has a name, but basically you can fill your lungs completely. So just breathe in as deep as you can through your nose. Then you're going to breathe out through your mouth, but as if you're breathing through a straw. So think about that. If you're breathing out through a straw, you can't go, right? I mean, it's like slow because your breath can only come out so quickly if you're breathing out through a straw. So if you are breathing out slowly as if through a straw, it's kind of like your lips are pursed a little bit, and it forces you for that breath out to be very, very slow and controlled. That is what I love to do before I go to sleep at night. So deep breath in, fill in the lungs all the way, and then purse your lips and see how slow you can make that breath out. Oh my goodness. It just takes you into an immediate feeling of calm. So these are great exercises to take you from a highly stressed state to a more calm state. So we're talking more physiological, excuse me, or mental stress right now, right? Just the things that get us just wired up and jazzed throughout the day. Use your breath. By the way, we have an entire module dedicated to stress management and recovery in my Faith Forward Age Backward program. This, you know, again, stress management is such an overlooked aspect of our health. And it's something that compounds, or it seems to compound, as we get older and our parents get older and we just have different kinds of stressors than we did when we were younger. And without learning how to properly manage it, you'll just stay stuck in your progress of slowing down the aging process, and I don't want that for you. So look, go check it out at lisalufitness.com/FFAB. That stands for Faith Forward, Age Backward. lisalufitness.com/FFAB. We would love to welcome you in. You can go learn more there. Okay, the second protocol I'm going to tell you about, now this is going more to our physiological stress, but can also be mental stress relieving as well. And that is sauna therapy. So I did an entire episode on the age-defying benefits of sauna therapy. That was episode number 65. So if you want a deep dive, go back and listen. And infrared sauna therapy in particular. But I'm going to give you just a few highlights over why sauna as a recovery therapeutic modality is so incredibly beneficial. So sauna enhances our immune function, which helps us to become more resilient to illness. It can aid in weight loss, metabolic health, increasing caloric expenditure. But when it comes to recovery, it is the Mac Daddy. Here's why. Number one, it can help to improve your sleep. Now, sleep is one I'm not going into today. Again, I've done a deep dive in other episodes about this, but sleep is not an option. If you're like, oh, I do this and I do this and I check all the boxes, but yeah, I don't sleep very good, you're going to stay stuck. It's not okay. Fight for your sleep. But sauna therapy does help to improve sleep since our bodies need 90 minutes of deep sleep per night to recover well. Sauna therapy can be a great aspect. 90 minutes of deep sleep. That's important. And if our body's not recovering well, we're not getting that. Sauna can help. It also helps to reduce inflammation. So it's good for post-workout recovery. So those muscles that are very stressed, very tired, very catabolized, broken down, right? They bounce back faster because of the increased blood circulation that comes from the reduced inflammation via sauna therapy. And then just reducing stress overall, sauna therapy can help to release endorphins in the body that just brings you more of a sense of peacefulness. Okay, so sauna as a recovery therapeutic is huge in my book. You can see the one that I personally use and that I recommend to all of my clients at lisalufitness.com/sauna. Use the code LISALOU for a discount, LISALOU for a discount. I love that one. It's portable. It's infrared sauna plus red light therapy. So many benefits. So lisalufitness.com/sauna to check that out. Okay. And the third protocol for recovering and mitigating either mental or physiological stress or both is longer recovery days between your workouts, and specifically intense workouts. I'm not talking about you going on a brisk walk and then needing 2 days to recover. That is not what we're talking about now. When I say intense exercise, that would be your strength training, because hopefully after last week's episode number 100, did you hear my 100th episode? Hopefully I convinced you that that strength training is really important. I think I covered it just a little bit and then there. It wasn't what the entire thing was about. It was actually why you're not seeing results with your strength training, but it was a good one. So go back and listen to that. But we're talking strength training, sprint interval training, long, intense endurance training, anything you're doing that's really taxing your muscles, okay? As we get older, we need longer recovery days. If you do not track your sleep, I highly encourage you to find a good sleep tracker. I think I mentioned it last week, but my Oura Ring is what I use. There are watches that do an okay job. Oura is one of the best on the market. Whoop Strap is another one, because you know, oftentimes we'll wake up and we're like, man, why am I so tired? I felt like I slept like a rock. But what may have happened is your deep sleep wasn't deep enough. It wasn't good enough. Maybe you had 15 minutes of deep sleep instead of the hour and a half you needed. Do you know what that tells you? It tells you don't go hit the gym hard again the next day. So even if you don't have a sleep tracker, you've got to listen to your body. But those trackers can just really, really help you dive a little bit deeper and understand exactly what it's coming from, right? So back to our muscles need time to recover. So the older we get, we cannot be in the gym hitting it hard every single day. Most of us. Are there people out there that are, you know, that don't deal with that. Women over 40, absolutely. When I was closer to 40, I could hit the gym more days in a row than I can today at age 51, okay? Maybe somebody else at 51 still gets great deep sleep if they hit the gym many days in a row. I do not. My deep sleep suffers. And I'm saying hit the gym. That's where I go get my really intense workouts. That's where I do my jump training. That's where I do my sprint interval training. That's where I do my strength training, is at the gym, because I have access to all of that equipment and I don't have to buy it here at my house, right? So you can absolutely get intense workouts done at home. I just like all the myriads of equipment there that I have access to. So tracking your sleep, a great way to tell if your body is recovering well. So if you're doing intense exercise several days in a row, like I mentioned, you may end up feeling fatigued because your body is just not recovered. When we were younger, we could go day after day or today or to the gym. But over 40, ladies, we've just got to start listening to our bodies more closely to prioritize recovery so we can see true body transformation. This is the point I want to drive home. If you, and I cannot tell you how many women I've heard say this, I'm doing all the things. I'm lifting, I'm doing my sit training, I'm doing zone two, I'm getting my steps in every day, I'm eating correctly. And then when I start to dive into, well, tell me, how often are you working out? I mean, 5 to 7 days a week. I don't miss a day if I can avoid it. Oh, and you're not seeing the results you want? Well, that is probably a really big reason. You are working out too hard, my friend. Your cortisol is staying high consistently. And what did I say about cortisol? In the right amount and at the right time, it is a good thing. But exercise is a stressor. It is a good stressor when we're giving it recovery. It is not a good stressor when we're constantly stressing it. Okay, so this is a mindset shift. A lot of us still feel like we want to do the things that we did when we were in our 20s and 30s. We want to be able to do it the same way. And what I'm telling you is that it's stalling your progress. It's stalling your results. And that's frustrating. I get it. I want to see you be able to do more in less time, which is what last Tuesday's episode was all about. Actually, that was episode number 98. Getting the minimal effective dose, episode 98. That was a great one. Go listen to that one as well. Okay, so great things to focus on your recovery days. So what I'm not saying is recover means lay on the couch all day. That is not what I mean at all. Our bodies still need to be in motion on our, quote, off days or recovery days. What are good things to do on recovery day? Zone two. So zone two, again, this is a very, very brisk walk, typically, especially if you're really healthy. Hitting zone two, just walking on flat ground, can be hard. You may need a little bit of a hill. Otherwise, a very slow jog would probably get you to zone two. How do you know if you're in zone two? One way to do it is, you know, your watch. If you've got, again, an Apple Watch will tell you what zone you're in. But also, this is a good way to know too, is just, are you able to carry on a conversation, but you would rather not? That is such a good way. Like, just try praying out loud, you know, while you're on your walk. And if you're like, I feel like I could like talk forever and ever, that's probably not zone two. It's like you can, but you just would be like, hey, I just want to kind of not talk right now. That's really where you are in zone two. Okay. So that's a great thing to do. And that can be biking. That can be a slow jog. That could be swimming. It doesn't have to just be walking. Mobility, another great thing. Mobility conditioning. This is another thing that I offer to the girls in my Faith Forward Age Backward program, is mobility conditioning. You can also stretch. You can also always, not can, always. Every day is a day to get in your steps. Do you know that? Every day, whatever your step goal is, every day, that is a day to do that. Because what it does is it keeps your body moving all day. A body in motion stays in motion. It is less likely to get locked up. Joint pain is likely to be less intense. Always moving your body. So steps, stretching, mobility, zone two, those are all great things to do on recovery days because you're not overtaxing your muscles, but you're keeping fluidity in your joints. Does that make sense? All right. So I hope that just helps you to just understand the importance of recovery. Recovery, see it as a training modality. See it as important as strength training. See recovery as important as getting in some zone two. See recovery as important as mobility conditioning. Like, it is priority if you want to get results, especially if you're over the age of 40. Okay. All right. That's it. Hey, thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. And I will see you on this Friday's Faith Forward Friday edition of Age in Reverse. Have a great rest of your day. Hey, thank you so much for being here with me today. And depending on which platform you're listening on, be sure you're either following or subscribe so that the latest episodes are really easy to find. And if you have a moment and you found value here, it would mean everything if you could take just a moment and leave a 5-star review for this podcast so that I can get the message out to more women. Thanks again for being here, and I will see you next time.